You can be here by 4:30.
All right, so the battle over minimum wage, you know, and I'm not a person who's staunchly opposed to minimum wage. But I do think that it's something that it should be carried out at the state level if it's going to happen. And here's why. If you live in Manhattan, New York, and you're making $15 an hour, which is the minimum wage that the House voted on yesterday, it's a lot different than if you're in Manhattan, Montana, or Manhattan, Kansas. These are different places that $15 means a lot different. I want you to hear the vote. Here it is, a preview to our next guest, Congressman Tim Walberg, who will join us to talk about it. But here's the vote on the floor yesterday.
On this vote, the yeas are 231 and the nays are 199. This bill is passed.
In the greatest country on earth, nobody with the dignity of a full-time job should suffer the indignity of not being able to provide for themselves or their loved ones.
The Raise the Wage Act gives up to 33 million Americans a long overdue raise. Yay. 33 million Americans.
This bill would increase the minimum wage gradually. This is not a bad for business piece of legislation, as my colleagues across the aisle allege. It's a good for everyone bill.
A good for everyone bill. Well, unless, of course, you own a business like those in Seattle, several of which have been forced out of business since Seattle, which, by the way, Seattle's now at $16 an hour, the minimum wage there. But it's still, at least it's a local issue addressed locally. I don't think it's a federal one-size-fits-all. I don't know that that's where we should be. Joining me, Congressman Tim Walberg from Michigan's 7th Congressional District. Congressman, good Friday to you.
Good Friday to you. Good to be with you.
So, all right, you were there. Tell us your thoughts on this bill. Obviously, it passed pretty much along party lines, it sounds like. Your thoughts?
Well, I sit on the committee from which it came, the Education and Work for Labor Committee. And all along, we said, this is just a posturing bill. Stop and think about it, Steve. This will be gradually brought in, as one of the speakers that you played, will be gradually brought in by 2025. So what we're saying here, while in most cases people aren't working under minimum wage, the overwhelming majority of people that are on minimum wage are not supplying their income for a family. They're young people. At low wage jobs, training jobs, those opportunities. So this is a posturing bill. By the time we get to 2025, we'll be at that simply because of market forces already. This would happen. All of this is just posturing for political purposes. And in the end, those places that do use minimum wage employees right now at lower than the $15 an hour are putting kiosks in, preparing for this to take place because, frankly, they can't afford people who are just starting out in their work life who, in some cases, arguably don't deserve minimum wage because they're being trained, and the opportunities are now being given to them to develop a work situation. They won't even have that. So as I said to my colleagues yesterday, as I spoke on the floor about this, you can talk about increasing the minimum wage. You can talk about a $9 billion expansion in wage opportunities, but what is a wage opportunity when you lose the job? The job's not there, so you
well,
go
that's
from
the problem.
Something to nothing.
Right. And so I think that, and what do you think of this? I mean, I think this is an issue that each state should take up. The federal minimum wage is at $7.25. And I'm, like I said, I'm not vehemently opposed to a base minimum wage, but coming across and saying it's going to be $15 or $20 or $100 an hour, whatever it is. Again, Manhattan, Montana, and the demands there are different than Manhattan and New York City. All right, I mean, it's just a different place. Rent's different, groceries, it's all different, right? The cost of living's different. Go ahead.
All right, just think of my district itself. Rent is much different in Onsted, Michigan, just 6 miles from my house right now, than it is in Ann Arbor, at the east end of my district. So you put a minimum wage requirement here, across the state even, and people in Ann Arbor don't quite make out the same way to the benefit as people in Onsted would. That's why it should not be done on a federal level, and that's why, for the most part, states and the communities here in Michigan are beyond the minimum wage for national level right now. People who are working minimum wage are making more than $7.25 an hour. And the majority of people, since we have 7 million jobs, are going wanting for people to fill them right now because of market forces. Employers have to pay more than that already in order to acquire somebody to work at their work site. So my point is, you can have a base minimum wage done on a state level, for instance, but in the end, the market forces are going to require that employers, if they're going to have adequate sources of people to fill the jobs that are needed to continue expanding the business, they're going to have to pay beyond that anyway. So what was done yesterday was the worst kind of posturing, making people, and some of those people that were paid protesters sitting in the balcony by some of the unions, were being lied to that this was going to impact them in a positive way, and when in fact it's going to happen anyway, simply because of the growth of the economy that the Republican tax reform, et cetera, and deregulation reforms have brought about, whereby now we have more jobs available than people to fill them. And now we're working on ramping up that training force that will provide people the necessary resources to have the jobs that they will have in the future, and it will be beyond the minimum wage, even of $15 an hour, simply by what market forces will do.
Chances of it getting through the Senate, though, are pretty well nil. That's why it's a posturing bill, and they'll say Republicans hate, you know, poor people, and Republicans will, well, you're a bigot just by virtue of being a Republican, obviously. You're a lot of things.
Look at what Barack Obama did during his 8 years. At the end of his 8 years, he jeered about President Trump, who was a candidate Trump then, saying he would get it above 3% GDP growth. He said you got to have a magic wand because his GDP growth averaged out less than 2%. And so people didn't have the jobs. There wasn't the growth in the economy. Our economy wasn't expanding like that. Now, since we've done the right things that always were done in America before that made our economy what it was, we're seeing growth, and people have choices now to the point that job providers are competing for people to work in the job sites. And if you want a job today, you can have it. If you're willing to work, show up the second, third, fourth, fifth day and use the soft skills that are necessary and have the training available to fill those jobs. So, I mean, you look at what they were jeering about and will jeer when the Senate does not pass this bill.
Right.
And the president wouldn't sign it because it'll hurt our economy. It'll hurt people. You and I have both seen, and I think most of the listeners have seen, fast food restaurants, kiosks being put up, and people now standing out there helping you to use it because that's what it's going to come to. You won't have anybody behind the counter except to prepare the food, to hand it back to you, and to take your money. But the rest will be done at a kiosk. And so that's not a good sign.
So we're going to leave it there on that topic, but we've got a lot to cover here. You're going to stay with us for two segments today. Congressman Tim Walberg with us because if you may have noticed him, it's been a busy week in politics. And, and we're going to get back to some of those things and what went on in North Carolina and the Feeble Four and everything else. Sit tight. It's 41 after. This part of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers all across Michigan. DTE, know your own power. We'll be right back.
DTE wants to help your business build Michigan's future. Whether your business is large, small, or in between, a DTE expert will help you find ways to improve energy efficiency and add incentives through our many programs. Programs that can help you save money. Money you can use to create jobs and invest in the future. You see, DTE wants you to be successful. Because when your business thrives, Michigan does too. DTE. At DTE, our business is making sure you have reliable, affordable natural gas to keep your business running. So we constantly upgrade and monitor our system 24/7, 365. We also buy natural gas in the summer when prices are low and store it for winter. Because at DTE, part of our business is to keep your business costs affordable all year long. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE.
You've seen the headlines. Water purity has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier water treatment company and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves customers statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine water in your free water test. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine water logo. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine water logo.
Lift off into a good book during this year's summer reading program, A Universe of Stories. Summer reading programs not only foster a lifelong love of reading, but studies show they help students reduce the effects of the summer slide. Don't worry, though. Summer reading is for everyone, regardless of age. Ultimately, the goal of summer reading programs is for all of us to get reading. You don't need a library card, you don't have to read library books, and the best part is, everything is free. So with that in mind, blast off into this year's summer reading program at the Eaton Rapids Area District Library.